And now, welcome to Chai with Manju, with your host, Dr. Manju Shen.
Hello and welcome to Chai with Manju. I'm truly ecstatic today because we have a brilliant author on our show. She also happens to be one of my most favorite. Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni is known for her masterpieces like Sister of My Heart and Palace of Illusion. Her books have been translated into multiple languages, also made into TV series and movies like Mistress of Spices. She has received numerous awards for her work. Chitra is professor of writing at University of Houston in the Department of Creative Writing. Let's meet Chitra.
Chitra, welcome to the show. And I cannot tell you what an enormous honor it is for me to have you with us today.
Thank you, Manju. It is absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you. So first of all, congratulations on your new book, The Last Queen, especially as it was written during this tough pandemic year. And of course, it's based on the life of Queen Jinan, who, like most of your heroines, never feels a victim of circumstances and handles most situations so brilliantly. And this is one year where we've all had to tap into our inner strength. So tell me about this book and what it was like for you to write a book in this tough pandemic.
Thank you. That's a great question. And because this book, writing it was different from writing any other book. You know, the resources were so limited. The external pressures, there were a lot of them. And so I really had to reach deep within to find some strength and some, you know, inspiration to write this book while all these terrible things were happening. And we were in severe lockdown at that time. The numbers of COVID, people who had it and people who were dying from it was so high that I could barely bear to look at TV or newspapers. And so in a way, though, you know, what sometimes appears as our greatest problems, if we are able to look at them differently and turn them around, they can become strengths. So because I had no place to go, because I had nothing else to do except worry and fret and, you know, imagine doomsday scenarios, I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. I was just going to make this novel my major job during the pandemic. And that became very good because I was really focused. I spent long hours and it was actually very imaginatively healthy for me because I could go to a different place, not physically, but in my imagination, I could be with Rani Jinda. I could be in Lahore Killa. I could be in Nepal where she escapes from the British and goes for asylum. I could be with her when she meets Maharaja Ranjit Singh as a young 16-year-old and falls in love with him. I could live all those places. And that was a great benefit during the pandemic. And also it made me turn to the internet. I had luckily got all my books before that. I had been able to manage that because after that, you know, mail services, especially from other countries, got disrupted. So I had the print sources, but I couldn't go any place, right? I couldn't go and do any research, let's say in Kolkata, where she will meet her son after many, many years. I couldn't do any of that. So I had to rely on photographs, especially old photographs and paintings and maps. And that actually became a very good thing because since I was seeing these places as they had been in Maharani Jinda's day, I could really get into the feeling of it. If I went right now and it's a tourist spot, and I think the feel of it would have been lost. So, you know, the pandemic was a great challenge, but it turned into a kind of blessing for this book.
And I think an important part of this book is also motherhood and the love between her and her son. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, you know, motherhood is one of my favorite topics. whether the woman is motherly or not, whether my heroines are motherly or not, and some of them are not, like Panchali in Palace of Illusions.
Right.
Whoa, I can barely keep the names of my children straight. I have other things to do.
Right.
Sita in Forest of Enchantments, on the other hand, is a very devoted mother. And in fact, when she is in a very difficult situation, she has been banished to the forest for no fault of her own. She is heavily pregnant. She doesn't waste time on things she can do nothing about. She says, okay, it's a bad situation. I did not deserve it, but I'm not going to weep and wail. I'm going to spend all my energy bringing up my children. And that's what she does. And I get a lot of inspiration from that. And Maharani Jinda is the same. She becomes a widow when she's just in her 20s. Her son, who will become Maharaja Daleep Singh, but at this point is just a baby far from the throne. There are many people between him and the throne. He's not even 1 year old. And she has to draw upon all her strength because, you know, there's intrigues and plots and all around her. She's in great danger because he is, although he's not next in line, he is an heir to the throne.
Heir to the throne, right.
So he's in danger and she has to draw on those qualities to make sure her son is safe.
And on that note, I have to say Mother's Day is next weekend. So all the viewers who are watching, this is a perfect gift to buy for your moms. So hint, hint for my daughter too.
That is a very nice hint. I approve. Yes.
So your heroines actually seem to be on a great journey of self-discovery. And you have always said that your trained mind is your strongest ally. Do you think that your heroines have evolved as your journey has evolved over the years?
I think so. I think I have definitely been able to, delve deeper into the human psyche and certainly the female psyche as time goes on, just because I'm getting older and hopefully... If not wiser, at least.
Yes. Old wine here.
And I'm really interested in examining a woman's experience from all angles. And so I have very different kinds of heroines. We have been talking about the heroines out of myth and legend and history. But really, a lot of my work focuses on the immigrant woman. And what are her challenges? And what are her challenges as she brings up a family here, as she tries to keep connections with her family back in India?
So we all, as readers, have our favorites. My first love will always be Sister of My Heart. But I have to say, among all your books, I feel Palace of Illusions is a true masterpiece. Right from the title of the book, when you read Palace of Illusion, you're like spellbound. Then the character of Panchali as it evolves. And there is, I feel it's also one of your wisest books. There's so much wisdom in it because the quotes, you know, the hunger of childhood never goes away, the way the love strikes you. And interestingly, when I was doing research about this interview about Goodreads and the best quotes, I think 70% of the best quotes that are your Chitta Banerjee's quotes are from Palace of Illusions. So I have to ask you, which one is your favorite book, if any, and who's your favorite character?
That's a great question. Another difficult question because it's kind of like a moving target.
Yes, right,
usually my newest book is the one that I love the most because, you know, it's most immediate. It's like the new baby. It's like my most recent creative energies have gone into it. So I'm very fond of The Last Queen for that reason. But really, I think, and I'll have to choose two, The Palace of Illusions and The Forest of Enchantments together mean something very special to me. And I think you're right in that they touch more hearts because I have received more reader comments on those two books. And of course, Palace has been out for a long time. It's been out for more than 10 years. Yeah. And Forest just came out before The Last Queen. But I have received so many, and I'm always so humbled and thankful for these people who write and say, reading this changed my life, reading this made me see life in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I have to give much of the credit to our epics, out of which these stories are taken, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. They are hugely resonant stories. They're timeless, resonant. They have lessons in them, you know, beyond what people can imagine. Every time I reread the Ramayana and Mahabharata, I learn something new. And I had to reread them several times as I was writing these books. But they both have, the reason I like those two books in tandem is that they show two kinds of strength and two kinds of rebellion against fate, if you might call it that. And Draupadi's is very fiery and very dramatic. Sita's is much more quiet, but it is not any less strong because of that. She is like so determined. She doesn't make a big fuss about it. She doesn't, you know, Draupadi is full of drama. She's throwing things.
She's to drama queen.
She's a wonderful drama queen.
Right.
And people love her for that. I love her for that. Right. And Sita is a very mature character. She's like an old soul, what we might call an old soul. She's very wise. But that doesn't make her less strong or less determined. She just goes about it in her own quiet way. So I think between the two, they offer two wonderful models of resistance.
Absolutely. So you know, when you read your books, I was thinking that your visualization, you write so beautifully, and the pictures as you're reading, the visualization that you do for us, it's like you're taken in that wonderland. And I was thinking, whoever named you Chitraleka was so right, wrote your destiny in some ways. So I have to ask you, who gave you that name?
Actually, my maternal grandfather gave me that name. And he was a wonderful influence in my life, although I don't think he was actually thinking I would become a writer or a painter. But he liked the name, so he gave it to me. But he was the first storyteller in my life. So the stories of the Ramayana, Mahabharata, stories of Indian history, even folk tales, which I've woven into books like Mistress of Spices and Sister of My Heart. He was the first one who gave me all those. So I have so much love and gratitude for him.
Absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit more about your journey. Of course, we know you're from Bengal, from Kolkata, and you live in Texas. Another thing I do want to ask you as part of your journey, you talk so beautifully about love. The quotes on love are just how it strikes you, how it keeps you yearning for the rest of your life. So tell us about how did you meet your husband?
that's a story in itself.
So share with us.
Yes, I'll share a little bit of it with you. So, and you know, I really do believe more and more as I live longer in this world that so many things happen to us by fate, by chance, and or by some other, you know, grand divine design. We don't know, but it's certainly not us doing it because he is from Andhra Pradesh. I am from Bengal. In India, we would never have met. If we had both continued living in India, we would never have met. But here, you know, I met him when I was going to university, and then we fell in love, we decided to get married. And because we were here, I think the families, both of us come from, and me more than him, come from fairly traditional families, but they were okay because we were in the US. And I think, although they didn't say it that way, both families, both my mother and his mother, both of them thought, at least that person is Indian. And so everything worked out.
I think that's become such a big factor because I have a daughter who's 23 and I thought I had evolved a lot, but even I think like that sometimes.
There you go. You know, those old conditionings are hard to
It's hard. It's the programming of childhood is very permanent sometimes. So let me also ask you, now your heroines are off having all these adventures all over the place, which are very inspiring. And I was once reading that you are in front of your computer all day. So what does Chitra do for fun?
Well, the first thing I have to say, and you know, we were having a conversation just before we got on the air about how you love what you do. And when you love what you do, that's fun, right? So on a very deep level, writing is fun for me. It's also frustrating. It's also challenging. It's, you know, when the words don't come, that's like the worst thing in the world.
The block.
Writer's block is the worst thing in the world almost. But when it's going well, it's like the best thing. So truly, one of the things that I enjoy and appreciate most in my life is my writing. But apart from that, I love reading. I'm a big reader.
Can you share your favorite authors with us and books?
I have so many. So it depends on my mood. So sometimes when I'm reading like serious authors and I'm in the mode of I want to improve myself as a human being and a writer, I read people like Tagore and Tolstoy. And, you know, I love the classics. I really have, I grew up reading them and I love them. And what's wonderful about the classics is you can go back to them over and over.
And learn something new.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You learn something new. You were like, I'm like, when I read Tagore, I'm like, how was he so smart? How was he so wise? How is it I never saw all this before?
Right.
Because as I mature as a human being,
yes.
I see more in those books. So I think books like Anna Karenina have taught me a great deal. Tagore's Home in the World, that's probably my favorite book of Tagore's. And then, of course, I love multicultural voices, especially women's voices, but all kinds of multicultural voices. Coming to the United States was very good for me in that aspect because it opened me up to wonderful African-American writers, you know, African writers whom I hadn't met, like Chinua Achebe. I hadn't come across his work before. Writers like Toni Morrison, you know, Mexican-American writers like Sandra Cisneros, Asian-American writers like Amy Tan, and especially Maxine Hong Kingston, from whom I've learned a great deal. Contemporary Indian writers like Rohinton Mistry, Amitabh Ghosh, Anita Desai, all these people have been so important to my writing. And these are the serious ones. I love reading sci-fi and mystery.
Yes, so. Lord of the Rings, I read.
I love Lord of the Rings. You will not believe it right now. Okay, so I have to confess to the public who will probably hate me for this. I'm a big bathroom reader, so there's always a book in my bathroom. And right now it's Lord of the Rings, which I reread from time to time.
We will not share that with anybody. So, another thing I really enjoy in your books, and perhaps was one of the first thing that appealed to me, is the friendships among women, starting with Sister of My Heart, the friendship between Anju and Sudha, and how they separate, they come together, that bond never breaks. So how important are friendships with women in your real life? And do you have any women who've made a big impression in your life?
Yeah. So first of all, there are the women who are my role models. I have to start with my mother. And especially since Mother's Day is coming up, I've been thinking a lot about her. She passed away quite a few years ago, but at least she saw many of my books and she read several of them. She read all my books, although, you know, we had this little deal. She wouldn't tell me. I said, Mom, don't tell me what you don't like, because that will totally give me writer's block. So she would just nod and say, I enjoyed it. And then we'd left it at that. But she was a great role model for me. And I grew up in Kolkata, as did you. And so you know about Mother Teresa. She was a big role model for me. When I was in college, I volunteered with her. I volunteered in Shishubhavan, which is one of her orphanages. And so, you know, just her life, just her presence, just that thought that one hasn't come into this world just to take and take. One has come also to give. That idea became important to me very early. But after I moved over here, when I was away from family, I really depended on my women friends a lot. And I think we all depended on each other because we were each other's extended
family. Absolutely.
So they became very important to me. Also, they were going through the same kinds of things, you know, living in a culture that wasn't their birth culture, learning to adjust, what to keep, what to change, trying to bring up children in this culture, which always makes it a little more challenging in some ways. So they became very important to me. And I think finally, the group of women who became really, really important to me are the ones that I do activist work with. As you probably know, I've been involved in the field of domestic violence, working with survivors of domestic violence ever since I was in graduate school. So the women who work with me on that, you know, that's a really special bond. That's like, that goes very deep. Not only are we deeply invested in safety for women and allowing or creating, helping women recreate their lives. But we've been through a lot of dangerous situations together. And that really is a big one.
And this is a topic which is very close to my heart as well. I work very closely with Saheli in Boston. And one of our big concerns, of course, in this pandemic is that domestic violence is going to be a pandemic within a pandemic. Because once the doors open, then we are going to find out how much damage there really has been after the lockdown.
Yes, and in fact, even now I'm on the advisory board of DIA in Houston, which is a similar organization. And I was one of the co-founders of Maitri in the Bay Area. And both of those are, I keep in very close touch with Maitri as well. And both of them have already, I mean, I see it in DIA that domestic violence has really gone up. And this is only the cases we know where people have actually been able to contact us and tell us. So I share your concern.
But we will hope for better things in future. And talking of future and dreams, on a positive note, your books have been made into TV series and movies. What is your next big dream for yourself?
You know, I love the fact that the movies and TV series and, you know, short films, long films, they have all come up. A couple are coming up, so I'm very excited. Palace of Illusions has been optioned, and Last Queen has been optioned already.
Fingers crossed.
COVID has put kind of a halt with the brakes on these projects, so... We will just have to see what happens. And of course, right now, I'm so distressed about what's going on in India that really a lot of my thoughts and prayers are just for the healing of the country, just for the helping of the people who are suffering so much.
But books is such a solace for us. I have to tell you, I read your books, and at least for that moment in time, I'm transported to a world where there is a lot of joy and not as many problems, or at least not mine to deal with. You know, I get inspired.
I'm so happy to hear that because for that reason, I've kept doing like virtual programs for India. In fact, I asked my publisher, should we just cancel all of these? Because, you know, is that people are going through so many problems? And they said exactly what you said. And I see the truth of that.
So a lot of people don't know that you actually write beautiful poetry as well. And you have written some books about it. So tell us a little bit about that. And we would love for you to share a poem with us as we end this interview.
Sure. Yes, poetry was my first love. I started off as a poet. I have several books of poetry. The latest one is titled Leaving Yuba City. And the title refers to some of our earliest Indian American immigrants who settled in California in Yuba City. They came from Punjab, most of them. And, you know, they became farmers, and it's a very prosperous and interesting community now. So I have a series of poems in Leaving Yuba City, but really it's about all kinds of different experiences, not necessarily personal. But I thought I will read to you from a different book called Black Candle. This is one of my earlier books, Black Candle. And I'm going to read, especially since we spoke about my grandfather, I will read a poem that, you know, the characters are all characters. They're not me. But this has a lot that comes out of my childhood, where I used to go and spend my school vacations with my grandfather, who lived in a little village about 2.5 hours outside of Kolkata. And this one is called Bengal Night. And I think what I tried to capture in this poem is that how beautiful and amazing the natural world is, especially to a city child who is not used to those things. When foxes sing out behind the bamboo grove and cranes' wings whip the black air white, the child stops her game and fills a bucket at the pump and washes. Water flows through her hot fingers like moonlight, leaching away the salt. She plunges her face into it, opening her mouth to its cool, rusty taste. On the veranda, the aunt cleans the lanterns, polishing narrow chimney glasses with the blue rag. The child waits, breathing in the kerosene smell. The aunt lights the first lantern. The child sets out to bring the grandfather home. One lighted lantern into the night swings great curved shadows on a path red as the massy hibiscus on every side where the child dreams green whiplash snakes hanging like tendrils, their jeweled eyes. Wow. The child sets the lantern, its oval shell of light, throws out her arms and whirls around and around in the blue breathless air. Her skirt flares hibiscus red to touch the world. In the wheeling sky, star-studded bats hang motionless on great leather wings.
Oh, this is so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. All the best with your last queen. So excited. So, and thank you so much for coming on our show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just wanted our viewers to know that Last Queen isn't out in the US as yet. It will come out next year, but it's available definitely in India in many different forms. Thank you once again for having me on the show. And I think you are doing such a great job, Manju.
Thank you. You made my day. Thanks.